Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
We are continuing the series on preferences. Somebody say preferences. Once again, this is something that you have to make up in your mind. You have to choose something. Somebody say, I have to choose something. See, a lot of us get in trouble because we don't want to choose something, right? We choose to be quiet, or we choose to not move. But do you know that when you choose something like that, really what you are choosing is fear? Amen. If you say, hey, God has called me to do this and do that. Like I said what's the guy's name? Jonah. God told him to go to Nineveh. And he said, I don't think so, God. I don't really want to go there. They got killers there. They got people that are doing all. He really chose to follow his fear. But we must choose God. We must prefer God over any and everything else in our life. Amen. That way we can be all that he has called us to be. Amen. It's very important. Every time I drive, I get a message. But every day that I drive, I get to see what people really prefer. Some people really prefer to live a life contrary to God. There was one person that I got to pick up this week. I was excited about because she preferred to do things for the Lord. She was an actor like Monica. I was like, I wonder if she knows Monica. She's trying to do some plays. Her parents are ministers, and man, she started preaching and stuff in the back. I was like, cool, that's what I'm talking about. But I know that that is what she preferred to do. She preferred to live her life like that. Amen? And it's a choice. We have to make this choice to follow God. Amen? You have to desire God more than you desire any and everything else in this life. If you do not desire God, you will find yourself in all kind of other things. Amen? So I think the biggest thing as we look at preference, we have to understand we have to desire God. Your desire for God should grow more and more every day. Amen? Even though we say that, some of us, we have to look at ourselves and say, last year when fall came and it was getting cold and the leaves was falling off the trees, was my desire for God the same as it is today, or did it grow? Right? We have to ask ourselves these things, because if we don't ask ourselves, I just did a radio show and we called it a progress report. Anybody know about a progress report? When you were in school, these progress reports weren't your grades yet, but they could be your grades. So when you got progress reports, what you had to do was you looked at your strengths. You looked at the things that you need to work on. And sometimes, even if you were younger, your parents looked at that and you said, okay, we have to focus on this because they need help in this area. But we have to do the same thing with our walk with God. Find out, am I at a place where I am progressing, or am I not progressing? And if we're not progressing, it's time to change things. Amen? Let's get it going. This week, I'm going to talk about a man that wanted to be healed, but he had different preferences than the way that God told him that he could be healed. Ain't that funny sometimes? God wants to heal us, and we want it a certain way, right? And we all know about Katrina. There was a big hurricane in New Orleans, and it was devastating, right? There was a lot of things happening. But there was one particular story that I remember where one person was praying on the roof for God to save him. God, save me. God, Lord, please save me. Please, God. Helicopter came, and they wanted to pick him up. He's like, no, That's not what I want to get saved. I want God to save me, right? The water's getting higher. He's on his rooftop. God, save me. God, save me. A boat comes because now the water is up there, right? And he's like, no, this is not what I want. I want God to save me. But see, this is the funny thing is because he preferred to be saved one way, he didn't realize that God was sending those other things to help save him. And that's how we get sometimes. We get blind to the fact that God can move in many ways, right? Some of us are asking for a word from God, right? Or I can't hear from God. I know some people that, hey, I'm just trying to hear from God. I'm just trying to hear from God. They don't even go to church. Going to church is an easy way you can hear from God, because a pastor that is seeking God's face and saying, God, what do you want me to speak to your people, is going to be able to speak a word that's going to impact your life. Amen. And as you go continually and faithfully and you listen, not only just come, because some of us, we hear it, but the Bible says many hear, but many don't listen. You can hear the word, but until you listen and begin to activate it in your life, you're going to still be in the same place you are. God, I need to hear from you. But if you're saying, God, I need to hear from you, and God tells you to get closer to God, and you say, okay, let me activate what I need to do to get closer to God, now you're starting to move on the word of God. Amen. The Bible says, do not be hearers of the word only, but be a doer of the word of God. So when you hear God's word, this is why it's so important that when you come to the body of Christ, and I'm just getting started. But when you come to the body of Christ and you go and nothing happens because you're not putting into action what you've heard, guess what? You're not going to grow. Amen. We have to continue, even when people come to hear or whatever churches they go to, we have to let them know. Activating and acting in faith is really what makes you a believer. It's not just saying. Amen? It's doing. You have to do what God wants you to do. So let's go back to what I was talking about before I got going. I don't know. That was for somebody. Praise the Lord. Second Kings. Sometimes God just starts telling you stuff and you just got to say it. Praise the Lord. Second Kings chapter 5. Verse 1 through 19. Now, this is a story about Naaman. He was a commander. Matter of fact, he was a king in Syria. So guess what? Kings have their ways, right? If the king of England, and there's not too many kings that I know of off top right now in the world. But, and I don't even think there's a king, but right now, let's just say, if the king of England came in, you can't just do anything. Right? Matter of fact, when the president of China came into the United States, into Seattle, they shut roads down. Everybody has to get off rooftops. Nobody can be on the rooftops. Right? Why? Because this important person is coming and we need to clear everybody else out the way so this important person can get in and get out. They do that with the president too, right? Michael and Monica know because they live downtown. So they mess everything else up for the president and all them to go through. Why? Because these are important people, right? Somebody say important people. Naaman is an important person. He's a king and he's a king of Syria. Syria always was a strong nation for most of it. And it said this, let's start reading it. It says, now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria. I'm sorry, he was not the king, my bad. He was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. So God even used this man Naaman to do something. OK. It says he was a mighty man of valor, but a leper. Now, leper. What is leper? Not a leopard. A leper. A leper was a disease. Many times when people had this disease, their hands would shrivel up. Their skin would just be nasty looking. Matter of fact, they would actually put them in sections of town that nobody would go to, right? And they didn't want their family to even see them because this just began to deteriorate their body. Amen? And it had no cure, right? So He was a mighty man. He won a whole bunch of battles, but he has leprosy. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, now this is something, I don't know if we're going to catch this. Then she waited, said to her mistress, if only my master with the prophet who is in Samaria, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Okay? Now, it's interesting that this person that was captive still wants to tell people how they can be free. That's powerful. When I was reading that, I was like, whoo. Some of us, we don't face the same captivity, right, as being slaves as today. But how many of you know that when you're free, it doesn't matter what your current condition looks like because you have your eyes on God. You understand what your purpose is. So this person that was held captive, this young girl that was held captive said, hey, I know how you can be free. We can call her a slave. But she understood what it meant and the power of being connected with God. Amen. So she tells him, hey, you need to go check out this man, this prophet. Verse 5 says that then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. All right. And verse 7 said, and then when it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, then he tore his clothes. He tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. All right. Now, I don't know who this king is. It doesn't say. That's kind of interesting. This king is just the king that says he's not God, right? But so it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes that he sent to the king saying, why? Somebody say, why? Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Now let's be clear about something. First of all, the king of Syria sent the message to the wrong person, right? But the king is like, man, let me send it to the king because I'm a king. He's a king, right? He's like, kings, we know how things work. That was the king's preference. But how many know sometimes God doesn't choose the king, right? God chooses the ones that are humble, lowly. Amen. Even when David was chosen, he was called a ruddy boy, right? And we don't say ruddy no more, but he was just like a boy running around. But God chose him. Amen. Let's keep on going. And it says, then Naaman with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. He went with his horses and chariots. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. All right. That's all he got to do. Elisha sent the messenger to him. I don't know if Elisha was busy, but Elisha sent the messenger to him. But verse 11 shows you that Naaman, he comes from that royalty. He was a boss, right? And the boss sent a servant to him. So he felt disrespected. Matter of fact, it says, but Naaman became furious. Somebody say furious. And went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and Pharpar, the river of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them to be clean? So he turned away in a rage. All right. His preference was, okay, why are you going to send me to the dirtiest river? But we got to remember, he's trying to get healed. Right. But he said, hold up. The man of God didn't even come out to see me. Now, this is kind of interesting, because some people get disrespected because they felt like the pastor should have did this or the pastor should have did that. But sometimes the pastor is just a messenger, and sometimes the pastor is going to send another messenger. Right? See, it wasn't that the word of God wasn't sent, because the word of God was sent through somebody else. But he felt disrespected. Oh, that pastor, he didn't have enough time for me. That pastor, oh, he's all about himself. Who knows what he was doing? He's probably in there doing all kind of, they don't know what he was doing. Maybe Elisha was constantly praying. He didn't want his prayer time interrupted, and you came in the middle of his prayer time. We don't know what he was doing, right? But he still sent the word. Verse 13 says, and his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more than when he says, wash and be clean? So he went and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh, somebody say his flesh, was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Now, see, I like the fact that, see, when God does something, he doesn't just get you back to where you should be. He made his skin even better. Right? It said to the flesh of a child. I don't know what happened after that. Once Naaman got here, I mean, he might have, you know, because some of us, when we get older, you get a little sore. You know, we don't know what his flesh was like. He got that child flesh. He might be able to run. Right? I mean, I'm just saying, I'm 31. And when I play sports, man, I be sore. I'm sore right now. I had to put some Icy Hot on before I got here, right, so I can walk around, right? But this Syrian officer, his flesh was restored not only to his age, but to the flesh of a child. So that showed that God even went above and beyond. Amen? Now, it says in 15, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. All right? Nothing wrong with that, right? Some people would be like, amen. Other people will be like, man, it's a blessing. Thank God. Right? But he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Now this is something that we don't know why, but maybe while Naaman came the first time, God told him not to take the anything. Just let me take all the glory. I got it. Right? When he sent the messenger, told the messenger, tell him what to do. He didn't want to do it. He ended up doing it. Now he's coming back to give him a gift, which is nothing wrong. But maybe God told Elisha not to touch it. Right? This is why you have to be careful that you don't be led by your emotions and the things that you want. Right? Maybe this guy was giving Elisha the nicest chariot in the land. Right? Maybe Elisha was just tired of walking everywhere. Right? I'm going to get a fresh chariot because I told this guy. But let me tell you this. Sometimes I look at it like this. Maybe if Elisha took that blessing from him, he was taking the credit for what he did. And he was letting them know, look, that's not my credit. The glory doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. Amen? And verse 17 said, So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offerings or sacrifices to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. Then he said, go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance. All right. I was going to stop there, but I this is going to miss something else. Now, this is something that we got to check out. Because Naaman left with, we call that terms and conditions, right? All right, look, man, I know that God is God. He's the God. Like, there's no God like him. As a matter of fact, he said, I don't think there's any other gods. But I got to go back, right? I go back to my homeland and my homeboy, you know, so we call him the boss. I have to go in that temple with him and he's going to put his hand on me. But don't let it count against me, right? You know, anybody know people like that? They get touched by God. They know God is doing something, but they still want to go back and do what they want to do, right? That's what Naaman was saying. Look, I don't count it against me, but I got to go back to the temple of Rimmon, that's what he called it. And when I bow to the temple of Rimmon, see, that's the problem. He didn't fully allow his preference to be only to bow to God. He went back to go do his own stuff, his own thing. I was reading a commentary, and some people say, we don't know what happened to the Syrians. We don't know if Naaman went back and told them all about these things. We see that he was healed, right? But he still had things that he preferred. He didn't want to disrespect his master. Right? But see, this is an important thing that we have to understand. When Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, he's your master. Now he is the one that you don't want to be disrespected. Higher than anything else. Amen? So we have to look at that. Verse 20, it finally names the guy that was Elisha's servant. His name is Gehazi. And it says, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian, will not receive from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, he said, but as the Lord lives, remember, Elisha said that, but as the Lord lives, I won't take anything from you. But he said, but as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. Okay? So he's swearing, pretty much, he's swearing to God that I'm going to go get what they brought. Right? Interesting. Interesting. He's in training, but then it says, so Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master, somebody say, lie. Because he lied. My master has sent me. Saying, indeed, just now, 2 young men of the sons of Pharaoh, sons of the prophets, have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them 1 talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. All right. So he's lying. One. Yeah. So Naaman said, please take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and handed them 2 of his servants. And they carried them on ahead of him. When he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away in his house. Then he let the men go and they departed. All right. Now, when he went in and stood before his master, Elisha said to him, where did you go, Gehazi? And he said, your servant did not go anywhere. All right. Now let's continue to finish this story up. Then he said, did not my heart go with you? When the man turned back from the chariot to meet you, is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out of his presence, leprous as white as snow. All right? Now, this was his preference. This servant preferred the riches. Right? Now, I'm not going to say that when you prefer riches that you're going to be leprous, because we don't see that in the world today. Right? That doesn't always happen. But their spirit might be leprous. Right? Their spirit is all deteriorated. Their spirit is not in a good place, because they have chosen to choose riches over choosing God. And this servant, that was what he did. He said, I want that instead of God. Or it's pretty cool that God did that, but man, Elisha, did you see what he was bringing? Like, if I can wear those clothes, if I can have 2 talents of silver, man, I'll be set, right? Because remember, he had a lot of stuff, and he just said, look, I just need 2. Give me 2. But he lied. And you see, when you prefer things over God, you'll lie to get those things, right? When you prefer things over God, you'll make up stories so that you feel comfortable about what you've done. And not only that, what we also see is he had to hide the things that he got because he knew that he gained them from doing the wrong thing. Right? That's what happens when you prefer things over God. As a believer, we know better. Right? So when we prefer things over God, those things are hidden because we want other people to think that we prefer God. Right? Even when Elisha asked him, where did you go? I ain't go nowhere. I've been posted up, chilling, didn't do anything. What do you mean, where did I go? I didn't go. He probably had a lot to say when Elisha was like, where'd you go? He's like, I didn't go anywhere. I mean, do you think I went somewhere? I didn't go. I didn't do nothing, right? But he tried to hide it again. And see, what happens is you begin to have patterns that show what you really do prefer. You start hiding and lying and hiding. Because those are the things you prefer. There was a lot of things that were preferred in this chapter. But the man that stands out is Elisha. He preferred to do God's will and give God all the glory for his will. Amen? And we have to do the same thing. If God does something powerful and we pray for miracles, we constantly pray for miracles, and when miracles happen, it's not, oh, look what I did. Because I prayed and I seen people healed. And they said, man, Marquise, when you prayed, I got healed. And what I say is, praise God. It was all God. Quit talking to me. Don't be like, Marquise did it. I didn't do nothing. I just activated my faith, prayed, and God did it. Amen? Now you honor God. And that was a story too, even for the Naaman, he had to learn to go honor God now. Give all the glory and honor to God. Because we see that even in the very beginning, it said God allowed Naaman to be victorious. God allowed that. But we don't know if Naaman was quick to give himself the praise or quick to give God the praise. Now, Naaman said the right things. There's no other God besides God. He's the greatest God. How many know people that will say the right things? They'll say, oh, God is praise. Let's give praise to God. Hallelujah. They'll do it when they're in church. They'll do it when they're around people that they know are in church. But when they're by themselves, they're going to do what they do. Because when you're by yourself, guess what? You're going to do what you prefer to do. Right? For example, if my wife is not at home and I'm going to eat and I got money, I'm going to go eat what I prefer to eat. Right? She might say, hey, I want to eat this. But if I don't have another option, I'm going to go do what I want to do. Right? But that's what we do when we're by ourselves. You really show yourself what you prefer. And you have to be honest with yourself. Do you prefer God or do you prefer these other things? And if you're at that place where you're saying, man, it looks like I've been preferring other things, all you have to do is say, God, help me have a hunger and a thirst for you. Help me have a hunger and thirst for you. The Bible says those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. Amen. So we have to pray that in our lives and expect that God will do that. Amen. I'm going to close right there because I don't want to even get going because I know I can keep it flowing. Amen. But we have to prefer God over riches, over rewards, over what people think. We have to prefer God. Amen. This has been helpful to you. Just raise your hand. Say, thank God. Amen. What we need to do, once again, I don't want you to just say this is good. We don't want to be like Naaman. We want to take it to that next step. Amen. Activate it. During your week, if you feel like, man, you know what? There's 7 days in a week. On Wednesday, you can say, man, was I preferring God more than anything this week? If not, then, okay, God, help me do that for the rest of this week. Take it one day at a time, right? When you get saved, you don't get saved and say, all right, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. You take it one day at a time. Today, I'm going to live for God, right? It makes it easier. Today, I wake up, I'm going to live for God. Thank you, Lord, for helping me live for you in Jesus' name. Good night. I go to sleep. The next day, I'm going to live for God. Okay, God, forgive me. I messed up, but I really have a desire to live for you. I'm going to sleep. Do it again and continue to have a routine of wanting to live with God, want to live with and live for God, want to prefer him. Amen. Hallelujah. Dear God, I just thank you, dear God, for your word. I thank you, dear God, that you're birthing this in us, oh God, that we will prefer you over all these other things. God, I pray, dear God, that you forgive us for putting any and every other thing ahead of you, dear God. And I pray, dear God, that we make conscious decisions to desire you more than anything else, oh God. I pray for each and every one under the sound of my voice, God, that you give us that hunger and that thirst for your kingdom, for righteousness, to seek you, dear God, and want to please you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So real quick, once again, thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.